On the air, online, from New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are. Hi, how are you? Happy Thursday to you. Welcome to the big radio show on this fifth day of April, year of our Lord, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and we have a lot of damage control today. Which damage control you want to start with? So we'll get to the Facebook damage control, because that's still going on. We've got Amazon damage control to talk about as well, and Scott Pruitt, the EPA administrator. I normally would suspect that when you start getting a lot of pushback and a lot of controversy and everything else about yourself or some cabinet officer or anything else, generally that's a precursor to getting a tweet saying that you've been replaced. But I don't know if that's the case with Scott Pruitt or not. I don't know. It's just normally you would think with all this publicity, I mean, every major news organization is talking about Scott Pruitt and the fact that he is had some ethics issues, and maybe if I turned my phone off, that would help. Some ethics issues and everything else, that would be something that you would say, okay, he's on his way out. But one of the theories that's going around out there is that this is simply because the attacks on him are not coming from the right, they're coming from the left, because the Environmental Protection Agency is such a lightning rod. It is so controversial. It has been for many, many years. They have incredible powers. And what has happened under Scott Pruitt is a number of things have taken place. He's been very effective. Let me put it that way. He's been very effective in rolling back a lot of the rules and regulations at the EPA. And so as a result, he is a target. He is a target of all the people out there that do not like what he's doing at the EPA. I've got an article from CNN that talks about five major changes to environmental policy in 2017. The first one is that we pulled out of the Paris Climate Agreement. And for the life of me, I still do not understand what that whole thing is about. It made no sense. It wasn't enforceable. It created all kinds of costs for our nation and none for some of the big environmental polluters around the world. It was a bad deal. And so Donald Trump got a lot of heat for it. He's the guy who got the heat, but it's an environmental story from 2017. So we pulled out of the Paris Climate Deal, and I just don't think it's made any difference. It wouldn't have made any difference anyway. But it was one of the keystones for President Obama's legacy. I'm glad we pulled out. The Environmental Protection Agency, according to CNN, underwent a radical transformation this year, rolling back the Clean Power Plan, which was an Obama-era rule that required states to meet specific carbon emission reduction standards, which drove up the cost of power. You don't see your state legislator. You don't see your governor. You don't see anybody in Congress, their fingerprints on this. What it does is it drives up the cost of power, and you get your utility bill for your electricity or for your heat or whatever it might be. And you go, man, alive, look at how much our energy bill has gone up. Dirty, no good, rotten utility company. I can't stand them, I'll tell you. They're the worst. It's not the utility company's fault, but they're the ones who get all the blame. It's the politicians who have passed these laws that drive up the cost of energy. Now, whether or not you want to pay more for a carbon emission reduction, that's another whole story. But don't pretend that the cost of energy has skyrocketed primarily because of regulation. So Scott Pruitt was involved in that. They're also on Scott Pruitt's back because of the fact that the reduction of Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments. These were two gigantic expansions of federal national monument land by President Obama right at the end of his term. And you can actually go back to Bill Clinton on the first expansion of Grand Staircase Escalante. But we're talking about millions of acres, millions, that could not be touched for anything, no natural resources, nothing, so that you can look at these pretty monuments. Well, what Scott Pruitt did was say, all right, we're going to reduce the footprint. You can still look at the pretty monuments. They're not going to go away. They're still going to be there. But these millions of acres of land can be used for natural resources. Here's another one from CNN. The oil industry saw a number of big victories. Keystone Pipeline was the controversial pipeline, and it had been blocked by President Obama, and it was unblocked. But it's still going through a process of dealing with approvals in some of the states it's going through. But it is an executive order that Donald Trump signed last year, 1 year ago, to begin a 5-year development plan to offshore drilling in the Gulf of Mexico and off the east coast of the United States. It was something that Barack Obama had originally approved, but then disapproved it after the BP pipeline break in the Gulf of Mexico. So, yes, there has been a change in the way the EPA is run. And I presume in the future, as future administrations become Democrats and Republicans and Democrats and Republicans, that we will see the EPA regulations ramped up and ramped down depending upon whether there's a D or an R sitting in the White House. So all of that makes Scott Pruitt enemy number one. Enemy number one. But now the story is that the president called Scott Pruitt, and the controversy was building, and said, keep your chin up. But he also got a call from Chief of Staff John Kelly that was less encouraging, and saying, is there anything else that's going to come out, any kind of scandal? And they're trying to make a scandal. It does look bad. I'll give you 1,000% it does look bad. He has got some rent that he pays for an apartment. Rental arrangement, and it's when he's in town, he pays $50 a night to stay at this place, and he has a bedroom or something in this particular house. Well, the problem with this is that the house is owned, I believe, by the spouse of somebody who is a lobbyist for something that EPA regulates. So this is, apparently their lobbyist, whose firm has lobbied the EPA on behalf of an energy company out of Oklahoma. So he's got this room. And a lot of people are going, oh, my gosh, it's $50 a night. It's not about the money. It's about the appearance. I'm familiar with this kind of living arrangement from pilots who have crash pads. They don't live in the city in which they are based, so they rent rooms from buildings that are set up for pilot crash pads near major airports. It's not unheard of. In fact, it's been around for a long, long time. I also know that there are a number of people, and it's so bizarre, that go to Washington, electeds, but also bureaucrats, but mostly electeds, members of Congress, who sleep in their office on a sofa at night and have for years. There's other stories about how kind of strange bedfellows, how a bunch of normally enemies on political matters get together and are roommates in some place, and they all chip in on the rent for some apartment somewhere in Washington, D.C. They're living like a bunch of, the kind of gypsy life. So he's getting a lot of heat about all of this. So there's not many people defending him, but I found one person, Nicole Nickpor, GOP strategist. She says that some of Scott Pruitt's controversies are defendable. For example, he has a soundproof phone booth.
The fact that whatever he is talking about has got to be highly protected because you are, you're running the EPA. And this is, it's a highly political position. You've got a lot of interest groups that would like to see you, out. They hate you. You've got a lot of other interest groups that would like to see more deregulation. So let's just say the privacy issue with the booth and all that, I can understand that. The more security, I can understand that. The first class tickets, I don't know, give or take.
Yeah, give or take. So he's flying around a lot, and he flies first class. And I don't know how you feel about that, but the cattle car, man, that is, the airplanes have really squished the seats together. Even first class is not first class anymore, but I don't want to see them throwing money around, but we're talking about, I think, nickels and dimes. So what's your sense of this? Is Scott Pruitt a bad guy? Is he a guy that is abusing his office? He's got a soundproof phone booth in his office that they built. Cost $25,000. I don't understand what that's about either. What do you make of this? EPA. I think he's been doing a great job, personally. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. Should he be fired? Will he be fired? 855-295-6600. Be right back.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan. On air, online, on demand.
So what's going on here? Hard to assess. But what Pruitt has done, whether you like it or not, he has done a good job of implementing President Trump's environmental agenda. That is not what Tom Price did. Tom Price failed to shepherd through the repeal of Obamacare, so he lost his job based on travel and other things. But it was really, he didn't achieve what the president wanted him to achieve. Same with the VA secretary, did not achieve what the president wanted him to achieve. So, but Pruitt has, by and large, achieve what the president's looking for. So the question is he going to get booted or not? The story from Daily Beast, which is a lefty website, says John Kelly called him and impressed upon him that the flow of negative and damning stories need to stop and stop soon. Well, that's just that. That's catnip for the media in Washington, D.C. Oh, good. They want the flow of negative and damning stories to stop soon? Good. Let's assign more reporters to find what we can find. So on one hand, I go, you can't be abusing the taxpayers' dollars. You can't be going around building soundproof phone booths for tens of thousands of dollars. You can't be going around. You should be able to, in my opinion, but first class is a big no-no, unless you're flying on your own dime. Why doesn't he pitch in with his own money? So I don't know where this is going to go. And then today, just about an hour or two ago, we got word that a woman by the name of Samantha Dravis, the associate administrator of the EPA's Office of Policy, one of Pruitt's closest aides, who's been responsible for carrying out much of the agenda. She has resigned. She's resigning. She says, it's an honor to serve the EPA, enormously grateful. I wish Administrator Pruitt and all the public servants the very best. So I don't know about this $50 night when he's in town. Certainly the dollars are really petty. I think the first class airfare stuff is petty. What else are they accusing him of? But this is the kind of stuff that if you are working for the government, you better be careful about doing any kind of money spending that anybody can ask any questions about. I think it's mostly because of the fact that he's successful. Phone number is 855-295-6600. John in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing there, Tom?
Doing great.
Good. I think, like you said, a lot of this was petty. You know, error in judgment on having anything to do with the room with the lobbyists. You're just giving your opposition ammunition. And the first class, I don't really have a problem with that. You know, he's a CEO, essentially, he's a cabinet member. And, you know, that kind of goes with me. To me, that level goes with the territory. But aside from all that, what I would really love to see is that the EPA is reduced to nothing more than a scientific advisory board with no regulatory power, leave it all to the states, and if there's an issue, one state has, you know, an air quality issue with another state, take it the way the founders designed it and go to the federal court system.
Yep, I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. Because, I mean, they you know, literally marched in and took over millions upon millions upon millions of acres of land in these various states, just grabbed them without paying for them or anything else, just saying, you can't do anything on these lands now. And the monuments are there. You can go look at the monuments. You can bring your family on a summer vacation, take photos, do all that. All that's fine. But,
You know, Tom, aside from the land, but the stuff that really, really gets to all of us, you know, on the regulatory side, I worked for almost 20 years in the environmental industry. And I can tell you this, that the state of Connecticut, for example, has more rigid drinking water standards than what the EPA standards are. New York has more air quality standards, rigid air quality standards than the EPA has. So each state should be, design and do have their own regulatory requirements for drinking water, for air, and so on. This is the way it should be. But for bureaucrats in D.C. to sit up in ivory towers and on high and say, this is one size needs to fit all, it doesn't work.
I like your idea a lot. I appreciate your call. We'll be right back.
Primetime, all the time, with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, it is. It's prime time, but it's also welcome to kind of your average day in junior high school between boyfriends and girlfriends. This story is changing as we're doing the show. Inside EPA just put out a news release that the fired White House aide... Well, they didn't say she fired. They said she resigned. Where's her name? Where is this one? Where is this woman's name? Samantha Davis. Reportedly a source of leaks over Scott Pruitt's ethics. So this Samantha Dravis. Well, let me just read this. It's a very short report. Rob Porter, remember him? Top former aide to President Trump, who was fired earlier this year over domestic abuse allegations, is reportedly a source of information about Scott Pruitt's ethical transgressions. And Porter's relationship with a top former Pruitt aide soured, sources say. Porter did not respond to requests for comment, but two sources say he leaked information about Pruitt after Samantha Dravis, his former girlfriend, resigned. So the fired White House aide is Rob Porter. So let's see, Rob, how many women is Rob Porter hanging around with? He has the two ex-wives that he beat up. Then there's a story about he dated Hope Hicks. There's a bunch of little backstabbers there. Now they're saying that he is the source of backstabbing Pruitt and that he apparently used to date Samantha Dravis, his former girlfriend, who has now resigned. All right, that's from inside EPA. Let's go to the Daily Mail. Female top aide to embattled Scott Pruitt, who helped bring down Rob Porter, resigns in another blow to the EPA chief who she regularly dined with. Samantha Dravis served as senior counsel to Scott Pruitt. She previously dated Rob Porter. She called White House lawyer Don McGahn last year to inform him of abuse allegations against Porter. So she went after Porter. She stuck him in the back. Porter was pushed out after the allegations by the two former wives were revealed. And now the White House has declined to say that Trump has confidence in Pruitt. John Kelly apparently had called him and said, is there anything else to come out? So, wait a minute. This is, I know. No. You don't need to tune into the soap operas on television. We got all the material you ever would need right here. What is going on over there? So this Samantha Dravis stuck a knife in Porter's back, turned him in, and now somehow Pruitt is involved in turning in Scott Pruitt. Mark in Bay City, Michigan. Mark, have you got a scorecard to keep track of all the drama going on here?
You were reading this off and you were talking about soap opera. You and I said it both at the same time.
Yeah. Soap opera. Well, what else can you call it? This is terrible. Amazing.
Good show, Tom. Hey, I was listening to Rush earlier today, and I'm not really sure about this, but I think he said that Obama had two people that run the EPA, two different people at, you know, different times.
Right.
And he started reading off, I don't know where he got the information, but he started reading off the money that they spent on trips. And I'm telling you, I'll bet you it was over a good $2 million.
Well, so let me give you another number. Under the Obama administration, Gina McCarthy, who was his second EPA administrator, she had put in a request for $8.3 billion for the EPA, and she got $200 million more than Congress approved. I don't know where the $200 million came from. Haven't had a chance to track that down. But I think this is all about the fact that they're rolling back all kinds of Obama-era environmental rules that were killing a lot of people, a lot of businesses. Terrible stories about the EPA with absolutely no appellate rights. I mean, they were kind of their own little fiefdom that could come after you. If you had a mud puddle on your property, you could not build. I mean, it was pretty bad. So I'm glad that Pruitt is rolling back a lot of these regulations, but I think he's in trouble because of it.
Well, I'm glad he is, too, because the money that, every time he knocks off some of these regulations, look at the EPA. They're the ones that stop all the coal mining and all that stuff.
Yep.
He's putting people back to work. Pruitt is putting people back to work. He's saving people millions and millions of dollars. And, you know, they're just like bureaucrats from the Commerce Department or any other agency of the government. They don't care who's president. because they're in there for a lifetime, and they'll do what they want to do. And I think that's the attitude that they have, and especially for the people on the left.
Well, I've had that conversation with John Bolton, who's not part of this whole discussion, but John Bolton, as a young man, he's been in a lot of different government agencies in Washington as a young guy working his way up the chain. And that was the thing he always told me, was that what happens is that the administration in power comes up with some new rule or some new policy or some new regulation, and it's the bureaucrats who decide whether they're going to sit on it or implement it. And so that was his goal, was to make sure that policies are implemented. That is apparently a trick and a skill that you need if you're going to be successful in D.C.
Well, you know, ever since Trump got in there, I've been telling my wife, sooner or later he's going to get John Bolton in there, because John Bolton's got the same attitude as he does about doing stuff. He don't mince words, and he gets in there and he does what he's supposed to do, and I'm really, really glad he put Bolton in there.
I am too. I like John a lot. He's a very smart man. He's incredibly, he's brilliant. And so, I mean, I'm glad that he's, you know, in there as national security, but, I mean, he put him in anywhere in government. He knows where the bodies are in that town. And I just think, I don't know whether Pruitt's going to survive this or not, because he's getting a lot of negative press. But the reason he's getting a lot of negative press is because of the fact that the knives are out for him, because he is... he's rolling back a lot of these regulations that have cost us an arm and a leg. That's why people voted for Trump, was to get a lot of these regulations reduced. So we'll see what happens.
They got to empty out the pits there in Washington, D.C., and all these agencies, too, because if something should happen, we get another Democrat in there, it's going to be the same thing over and over and over again.
Absolutely. And that's fine. That's the process of our government, is you get your turn to try and run whatever you want to run. But I don't know. I've also been a big critic about the fact that in Washington, D.C., they've ordered hundreds of limousines, and they have they've got these people up on pedestals like they're small g gods. And I don't like any of that, but I think they're getting pretty picky unis if they're talking about $50 expenditure for a place. I get that it doesn't look good because somebody who owns the place is a lobbyist, but how do you rent a place in Washington, D.C. without doing business with somebody who's married to a lobbyist? Or if you take a look at the members of Congress and their spouses, they're all involved in some lobbying firm somewhere. So I think this is politically motivated, even though it's petty. I know I've raised up about them wasting our money, but I just don't see this as big potatoes. Anyway, Mark, I got to run, but I do appreciate the call. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. We will be right back. My name is Tom Sullivan.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
So the attack, I think, is on. I think it comes down to something like this. The mainstream media, look at, who was it? Dominic the other day called me an apologist for Trump. I'm not. I will criticize Donald Trump, and you Trumpsters get mad at me and send me all kinds of nasty tweets and everything else when I think he does something that I don't like. I'm more than happy. The whole thing about Amazon, I'm going nuts. What's the matter with Trump? But I also defend him when it's time to defend him. And I'll tell you what's happened. The mainstream media has gone after Donald Trump like no other president ever. Not Nixon, nobody. Nope. Not even close. It is the most unconscionable attack I've ever seen by the media on a president. It hasn't worked. In fact, his average ratings are in the low 40s, but Rasmussen has him up to 51% approval today. So he's doing something out there that people like. Not everything in my book, but he's doing stuff that people like. That's why they voted for him, was to roll back a lot of these heavy regulations that it was just a regulation machine in the Obama White House. So they're rolling them back, drain the swamp, all that sort of stuff means roll those regulations back, get rid of all that stuff. But it hasn't worked. And the president's doing fine. People still hate him. People still love him. But they haven't been able to bring him down. They got Russia, Russia, Russia. It doesn't look like that's going to bring him down. They may get a few of the people that he knows. They may get the Manaforts and the Rick, whatever his name is. Okay, fine. They'll get a couple of people for that. They'll throw him in jail. But they haven't gotten him. So how do we get him? How do we get him? Man, we've tried. We've been doing this for a year. We've been trying to take the guy down. You got that goofy Tom Steyer guy spending a bunch of millions of dollars to impeach Donald Trump. Saw him being interviewed by MSNBC, and even they were making fun of him going, what are you doing? So what do you do? Yup, well, let's go after some of his people. Let's try and dismantle his cabinet. Let's go after, the EPA guy. That'll do it. And we'll just take him down one by one that way. So let's start with Scott Pruitt, and we'll just work our way around the table. Because we haven't been able to get Teflon Don. But Ben White, who is a Politico guy, I don't blame him. The problem is some of these perks. Ben White says he's skeptical of the needs of Scott Pruitt's perks.
A period of like a month where he wasn't at the EPA because he didn't have a place to stay in Washington.
Security,
he was at home or wherever else, and he was recuperating from surgery. Maybe fine. That's a long time to be out of your office when you're running the EPA, which is a very important government agency. I mean, obviously, this is piling up. The flights, the Airbnb, whatever, the $50, the rest of these things.
Yeah. It's all pretty small potatoes. I agree. I don't want them to waste our money, but I've told this story before on this show. I remember I was staying at the Mayflower Hotel, and I walked out one early Sunday morning, and here comes, I thought, this must be the president coming. Washington, D.C. police were blocking all the side streets, and here comes this caravan of police cars and Secret Service vehicles, and there's a limo in the middle of this whole thing, and I thought, got to be the president. And it pulls up on the next block to where I was, which is where ABC is headquartered in D.C. And it was, at the time, it was the Secretary of State, Warren Christopher. He was going to go do Sunday morning show on ABC as a guest. I'm telling you, they put these people up on huge pedestals. I don't know how much it costs to move the Secretary of State a few blocks. But it's all that stuff, tons of police, Secret Service, limousines, SUVs. Well, I don't know about that $50 that he pays when he stays in Washington, D.C. I don't know about Airbnb. I mean, I what about that first-class ticket that he used? It just doesn't seem proportional to me. Talk to Gino in Reno. Hi, Gino.
Hey, Tommy. How are you today?
Good, good.
You know, I like your story about Secretary of State Warren Christopher. I think that's a great point. I think a lot of this is just palace intrigue. And if you think back to the time of the ancient Romans, there was a time, you know, you had the Pax Romana 100-year period. And that's where the emperors, after Caesar was killed, you know, Augustus, he was ruthless, and he ruled with an iron fist and the couple that came after him. But then we had the time where there was constantly going, switching, you know, emperors every few years. And I think the people of Rome, the Senate and the tribunes, they were all trying to lobby to get to court favor for whoever might become the next one. And then they had the people in the palace who actually were responsible for the Caesars being assassinated. And that's kind of what we see. We see the people in Washington, the permanent class, who want to take down the person who they don't agree with. And Trump got in there, as you said, because the people wanted him to do something. Victor Davis Hanson's latest article talks about the Gordonian knot that couldn't be untied by all the wise people of the world. And Alexander the Great just came and took out a sword and cut it. And he says that's what Trump's doing. And he's driving Washington crazy because instead of playing the political game where we're going to do this political solution and this diplomatic solution, he's just like, this is ridiculous. And he wants to cut it. And they see this guy as a threat. And I also think he's kind of like an Andy Jackson, who was the Washington elite back of 1828 was against him because, he just was going to do things different. And they're even mad that he's got Andy Jackson's portrait in the Oval Office.
It's right there. It's right there. I laugh every time I see it because if there's ever been a president like Andrew Jackson, it is Donald Trump. No question about it. No question. They hated Jackson because Jackson was going to break up their system. I wonder.
You're completely right.
So someday down the road, whether it's after a first term, whether Trump runs again, maybe after two terms if he gets a second term, I've been thinking about what are we going to do? Are we going to go back to electing bureaucrats? Or are we going to go, people that are very steeped, very inside Washington, or are we going to try and find another Donald Trump? Because it's going to take more than 4 years. It's going to take more than 8 years, I think, to really bring that bureaucratic establishment down to their knees in D.C. It's going to take a long time. I don't know what people are going to, who they're going to choose after Trump. I think it'll be fascinating to see.
Well, the thing is you remember Reagan got a lot done and people said he wasn't going to get anything done, but he changed the direction of the country. But then because he was very loyal, W's dad, H.W., he wasn't a conservative. And so what happened, a lot of what Reagan did, remember it was read my lips, he said everything to get elected, but then, I'm sorry, I tried really hard, I can't do this, so I'm going to have to raise your taxes. And then the Democrats who wanted that tax cut, they then turned it on him and said, see, and Bill Clinton came out after, I mean, he had like 91% approval after Kuwait.
Well said, Gino. I love your history lesson today. We'll be right back, folks. Don't go away.